What's up, guys? Welcome back to another episode of Push Through. We are here. We took a week off. Oh, we're going to do that from time to time. Here we are. My first official day of summer. Some people say, you know, summer vacations when you leave school. But for me, the first day off, like when I don't have to set an alarm, even though I have two small alarms that sleep in the bedroom next to me, you know, that's the first day of summer for me. So, whoo, summer. Unfortunately, started it off with a funeral this morning, but she was 96, so it was a good run. You always like to go to those. Well, I don't, you know what I mean. Too many times we go to shitty funerals, but
right.
It's nice every once in a while when, you know, Avery's like, how did she go to heaven? I'm like, she was just old.
Lived a long life.
It was just time for her to go. And it's funny, the priest at the end was like, we did the Our Father on the way out, and he's like, as we do this Our Father, he's like, think about how many times in her 96 years she probably said the Our Father. And I'm like, even if you're one of those people that just goes to church at Christmas, that's still about 90 times that she's done it in her life. Yeah. And she was definitely more than a Christmas churchgoer. So holy Toledo.
I can live to be 96.
You know, there's few circumstances which I wouldn't want to live to 96. And it sounds like a good one. We got a lot to talk about. It's been 2 weeks, maybe.
Yeah.
Last time we spoke, I was getting ready to do a backyard ultra. We definitely talk about that. The markets. We can definitely talk about the markets. So I like talking about the markets. Maybe we'll get a house update from JJ today. I don't know. Maybe not. JJ got a haircut. You know, all these things.
I'm growing out the mustache.
Is that happening?
It is. I'm growing it for the 100K.
And are you going to shave the beard?
No, I'll just probably keep it trimmed like it is.
I mean, I'll grow the mustache and shave the beard if you will.
No, I'm not shaving the beard.
I will commit today to not shaving it until 100K.
Mm-mm.
Which no. I was telling you this morning, it's really 105K.
Yeah, no doubt, dude. Gosh, dang it. But that checkpoint they changed, that's going to help tremendously. I just got to make sure I run a marathon before I do this thing, because that second checkpoint, it's at the marathon point, I think.
And it's a little further. Yeah. No, actually, you're right. Yeah, because they have that small. They have the one that's like 6 or 7K in, or 8K, and then at 40K, which 42K is a marathon. Yeah.
Yeah. So I need to make sure I can get there in time for the cutoff, which I think was like 7 hours or something.
You'll get there. But well, you're right. Like for anybody that's not like understanding what we're talking about, there's certain points along the course that if you don't make it, they pull you. They're like, dude, you're going too slow. You're out of here. And they had one at, man, maybe you could tell me how many Ks it is, but it was after a long day. It was towards the end, maybe like 75K in. And the time cut was at the top of the hardest climb at the end of the race. And it was like, if you're having a shitty day, grinding up a 12% incline, 13% incline hill for I think it was 4 miles, you're talking 25 minutes per mile.
Ugh.
And I was like, man, like it's going to be rough if we got to kind of try and get up this hill to save our course, to save our day. But they moved that checkpoint to the bottom of the hill, which is great because now we get to see the fam, get rejuvenated, get some nutrition, maybe whatever we need to do before tackling that last big climb. But still, that last big climb to me is that's the end of the race. When you get there, you're getting home.
Yeah, I was going to share my screen to show the course again if you guys are watching on YouTube, but you have to give me permission. But I wanted to look at that first cutoff, and it is at the 25 and a half mile mark. So not quite at a marathon. So it'll be just before, and it's at a downhill. That's the second cutoff.
Did I allow you to do it yet?
Yep, now I can. All right. So let me pull this up here. So can you see it now?
Yeah.
Okay. So this is that second cutoff. Here's the first one at 5.7 miles. It's an hour and a half in. I can almost, unless I twist my ankle or something, pretty sure I can get that.
Yeah.
The problem is with me is this elevation. I mean, we're going to spend some time on the treadmill these next few weeks, but I'm really nervous about these two climbs, this one and then this one.
Hold your mouse over that 11.5 mark on the green dot. It should tell you the elevation. Go up to the green dot above it.
Oh.
Yeah. So that's 18, 14, and it goes up to roughly 36. So 26. Yeah, that's going to be a 1,500 foot climb in 5K.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah, and right now in my training, I'm only doing like 1,000 to 1,500 feet on the treadmill, and that's taken me, you know, at a brisk walking pace. I think it takes me, 28 minutes if I'm booking it on the treadmill to get to 1,000.
Yeah. Yeah, I do like 1,700 feet an hour. With the incline, mine only goes up to 12.5%.
Yeah, yeah.
So at 12.5%, roughly 3.5 to 4 miles per hour, I can get up. I do 1,700 feet in about an hour.
Okay.
So that's about it. So you figure from that cut right there at 11.5 miles to the top of that alone right there is going to be at least an hour, probably more like 90 minutes.
Yeah. And what also scares the shit out of me too is that the longest I've ever ran in my life is right about that breaking point, right before that climb.
Well, up till now.
Yeah, till now. Luckily, I still have a few months to get some more runs in. But, oh, dude, I'm a little nervous. I'm a little nervous looking at this thing, man. It's a big tackle, and it's a big... Now, you said also it's an extra 5K longer, so it's technically 105K now.
Yeah.
So, it's... You know, it's going to be a lot of mental battling with myself, but
yeah,
I am stoked.
Take that screen off. You're giving me agita.
Yeah, sorry. Hang on 1 second.
Stop sharing. I can't look at it. I got the email that they like updated the checkpoints, and I'm like, I don't even know if I want to look.
Well, oh, that's what we forgot to show, but luckily that checkpoint came down from the top of that hill, but that made me feel a little better, but I got to freaking get there first.
Well, let's first talk about your accomplishments since the last time we talked. Millett, and also too, I just before I forget, because we can babble and I'll forget. The DMs have been coming in, and the people running and the people doing awesome things in the Discord. Yeah. Guys, please keep telling us about that shit.
So motivating.
It's just, yeah. It's good to know that like you're not alone, because like it might sound like cliche. But like, I think about those DMs and those texts and those messages when I'm having a dark day. Like I told you the other day, I sent you a picture. I got my face kicked in, and it was one of those runs where I got out the door and I was like, I don't want to do this. But usually like you go out the door, you're like, I'll get 5 minutes, 10 minutes. I'll feel good. I never felt good. It just so happened to be a long run, and it just happened to be pouring rain. And it happened to be a trail run, and it took me 3 hours to go 13 miles or so. And it was painful, but definitely thinking about the good people, you know, sending texts like, all right, at least I know that there's other people out there on the grind as well with us.
Well, what also I like about those runs too, because like I get those shitty runs all the time, man, where like I'm just not feeling it. My body's not feeling good. It's, you know, one of those things. But I also tell myself when the run's over, even though to me, when those runs are over, I'm like, I don't feel any better. Like I don't feel accomplished, but I do tell myself, I'm glad I moved. Like I'm glad I moved my body, even though it sucked to get through it. It was better than sit on the couch doing nothing, you know? So that whenever those bad runs happen for me, it still makes me feel good to know that I at least got it done. Instead of just choosing the other option, which would be to simply not do it at all. But, right.
But you ran 13 miles.
I did. Half marathon. You're going to hear some lawnmower guys coming through right now. Sorry about that.
It's Monday during the day. Usually recording. My kids are awake. I was going to warn people too. But you want to know what? My wife's like, I don't know how quiet I can keep. I'm like, Tara, just
it's fine.
Go out to the pool and see whatever you can do. And those guys, they mow the lawn quick. But
yeah, they do. It should be done quick.
You you didn't really plan that. You kind of just went for it, yeah?
Yeah, pretty much, dude. Well, like the original plan was to like train for my half marathon. Like that was the big thing. Like I was going to train to run my first ever half marathon at a race. And, but you know, that was before the whole 100K debacle popped up in my life. But yeah, dude, basically it was a Saturday. I've been upping my Saturday runs every week. And I think I texted you the week before. We were talking about it on the podcast. I don't remember. But I told you, I was like, yeah, you're doing your backyard ultra. And I said, I think I'm going to try and do my half marathon while you're suffering, you know, doing that. And you're like, do it. So I woke up Saturday morning. That's my best. Like right now, that's my favorite thing to do is I wake up before the family. I go down. I make the same thing every morning. I make 2 avocado toast and then I make an oatmeal. I drink a coffee and then I like a couple waters with that. I get super hydrated during that breakfast. And, so anyways, I went down, made my breakfast, got ready, was feeling good. I was feeling motivated and just kind of took off, dude. Like I had a plan. I knew I was going to make it to the beach. The beach was 12 miles. So I was like, okay, I'll finish my last mile, you know, on the beach. Worst decision I've ever made in my life. So I started off the first like 8 miles. I felt solid, dude. I felt real good. It was raining half the time, which I love running in the rain. Especially here when it's hot as hell in Florida. So it wasn't hot. It wasn't humid. The only downfall I had is I don't carry enough water with me. I only carry a 10-ounce bottle that fits in my little flip belt. And I ran out of water twice. So like that kind of sucked. But it wasn't bad enough to where I was getting dehydrated. Now there did come a point around that 9-mile mark. It's out of water. Didn't have any, I had a peanut butter, like Clif Bar snack, but I was like, I'm not eating this thing without water. I'll be freaking dying of thirst. And I'm sitting there like trotting, just like barely running. I was probably doing like 12:30, 13 minute pace. And I could feel myself like wanting to stop. And I almost stopped to walk. And then like out of a movie in the background, I saw the little neon lights of a gas station. And I'm like, I can't even do it right now. Yeah. So I like picked up my pace. I was like, hell yes, I get to refill my water bottle. Well, then I go into the gas station and they don't have freaking water at the fountain where you get like your little fountain sodas. I know. And I'm sitting here. I have sweat just and I'm soaking wet from it raining outside. I'm getting their floors all wet. I was hoping this would be an In-N-Out thing. And I'm sitting there looking around. I'm like, oh my God, where is this damn water at? Finally, the worker was like looking at me. She's like, what's this guy doing? Because I run my shirt off. And so I look at her. I was like, do you guys not have water here? Like, oh my God, I'm dying of a thirst right now. She goes, oh, usually they'll just put ice in their cup and then they go get hot water over by the coffee. Well, the freaking ice wasn't like fitting in my little bitty ass bottle. And I was like, oh my God. So like I got a little in there, filled the hot water up. It luckily cooled it down enough to where it was drinkable. And I just took off running again and I started drinking it and felt a little better, but still wasn't enough. Anyways, got to the beach around 12 miles left. And dude, I was struggling. Like it wasn't really, my lungs and everything always feel good. It's just my legs just give out on me. They give out on me so quick. And I'm hoping that builds up with over these next few months. But I got to the beach and it was a complete just mental shift. Like when I got to the beach, I was like, boom, I've done it. I'm done. But I still had like a mile left in me to get to the 13.2. Dude, I probably ran a 15 minute pace mile that last mile because I was done. I was mentally checked out. You know, I'm doing this thing by myself. Yep. It was starting to really downpour at the beach. I'm trying to text Lindsay to coordinate with her to come pick me up. I was just so over it by that time, but I still got it done. And then I was also just, I kept staring at that ocean water because all I wanted to do was just go jump in. That's all I wanted. But I was like, I've got to get this done. I cannot quit knowing I'm this close to a half marathon. So got her done. Wasn't the best time. Finished at like 2 hours and 46 minutes. I'm going to retest it. I got to look at that thing you sent me on my miles, but there's another 13-ish mile day. I'm just going to run that half marathon that Saturday. And I'm going to test that new time compared to where I was because I know for a fact I can beat it. I know I can. It's just a matter of not ending a mile left on the beach.
Well, and that's, we've talked a bunch of times about like long runs are not so much for training the legs and the miles, but like learning nutrition and learning like where things are going to go bad and when shit can hit the fan.
Right. So, yeah, I definitely need to work on the water stuff and I need to buy, I don't know if I should just buy the handheld water bottle you told me about, or if I should get an actual vest and start practicing with the vest on. But I mean, I know I need it for the 100K. So,
you know, I like to talk gear.
Oh, I know.
I know. I'm at the threshold now where like, I know my handheld's 20 ounces and like, I kind of know how far I can go, or how more how long. Like, I know how long it takes me to drink 20 ounces, depending. But now, like, the change in season fucks everything up.
Yeah.
It's like, even from winter into spring, like, you don't drink as much, you don't sweat as much. And then you go into spring, you're like, I got to recalibrate all of my distances and things like that, and my clothing and what I wear for different temperatures. And now the same thing's happening in summer, where I'm like, oh man, like, I used to be able to just take a water bottle with me and it didn't matter what the distance was. Now I'm like, yeah, when it's hot, you do not want to run out of water.
Yeah. Oh, well, that one time I ran the 10 miles, what was it, when my parents were in town. I don't know if we talked about it or not. I got so bad that my lips and my tongue were starting to swell up. Like, I was at that point, and I was like, but it's just because I don't have anything to carry water with me, but I need to get, like, I just need to buy something, because if I'm really going to take this running shit serious, like, I need to keep myself hydrated, because ultimately what that's doing is crushing my body. It's not doing me any benefit to not run with more water on me, or to, you know, I don't know if you plan on coming down or not to run my first marathon with me, just by ourselves in training.
Done.
I hope so, because I saw that on the schedule, and I was thinking, I was like, one thing we could do is we could try and go set out where we're going to run at, and just have like big ass water bottles.
I was going to tell you, yeah, you just drop them under like a bridge or behind a garbage can or behind a guardrail, and what I'll do is I'll do a little Sharpie mark on like the lid to know if anybody opened it, like to make sure that they align.
Oh, that's a good idea.
When I get there, just to make sure nobody like
messed with it or anything. I mean, generally, you are in New York.
Yeah, generally people don't really give a shit about that, but it's easier in the trail. I mean, I'm really not even running on the roads anymore. If I run on the roads, it's at the point where it's like something happened, or like I had to squeeze something in. There's no reason to.
See, when me on trails right now, dude, I'm getting bombarded by bugs.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so like I can't really do that right now, because every trail around here there's like standing water.
Yeah,
so you're either getting ate up by mosquitoes or the flies like coming. Like the dude, one trail run I went to when I got stuck in a thunderstorm, I was getting ate up by these big ass flies, like kept biting me and shit. I told Lindsay, I was like, I've never been more pissed off on a run. Every 5 seconds there's boom 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 boom, just trying to hit these damn flies, dude. It was so frustrating. And trying just to get through a run and flies are biting at you, like one of the most annoying things ever. But, you know, got her done or whatever. But
now you know how to overcome that.
Yeah, no doubt, dude. Yeah. If there's flies on this trail, I'll be able to handle it. Like, I'll be honest, dude, like the heat kicks my ass here in Florida. Sometimes I go out and run at 2 o'clock and it's hot as balls, but I'm like, I don't know if this is going to, my mind tells me like, I hope this is benefiting me somehow for when I do go run in the mountains in Virginia, that I'm going to be, even if it's slightly warm there, I'm going to be accustomed to the heat. Like, I'm already feeling better in the heat now.
I seek that out. Yeah. Like, Tyra's like, why would you go? I'm like, I want training to be as hard as possible. Like, even on the treadmill, I stopped turning the fan on. Like, I want, because I know that heat is something that emotionally breaks me down. So I'm like, let's figure out a way to get through the heat.
Yeah.
So it's benefiting you. And I mean, I would love to get blessed. It's supposed to be like 65, 70 degrees in September down there,
mm-hmm.
which would be,
is that when you're coming down in August though, right?
Isn't no, but I mean for our race, for the 100K in September, it should be like
70. I see. You're talking about in Virginia. I got it.
Yeah. So if we train in the heat.
Oh, dude, that'd be so and then
we
perfect.
Get a 60, even if we get a 70 degree day, it's gonna be
nice. It's gonna be so nice.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
No, but I definitely want to try and get down there, because I told you Tara wants to go visit a friend, and I got my buddy Mike Studley, who lives in Jacksonville as well. So
mm-hmm.
I gotta figure it out before I go to out to Oregon.
Yeah, that'll be my and first marathon.
Lindsay starts in August though, right? Then we have to figure out what her work schedule is gonna be and shit.
Yeah, we will have to do that. I don't know when she's officially starting. We'll figure it out.
Yeah. Yeah.
But she can always trade shifts or something like that for a day.
I don't know how many laps I said that I wanted to do for that ultra, but
we'll explain what that was. Like, explain the
so if you missed behind if it. You missed it on the last episode, I did it was 4.2 mile loop on the hour every hour. And you did that until the whole race quit. And it started at 6:30 p.m., so it was right into night ops. And the weather was not ideal. It was very rainy, stormy. And 75 people started, I believe. 75 people, maybe 75 people. First person dropped after three loops. I actually met a guy, and it was pouring rain. This dude was trying to set up a tent, and I had just a cooler with me, so I didn't have anything to set up. So I see him out there like struggling with one of those big pop-up tents in the fucking downpour. I'm like, all right, I'm going to get wet eventually. Let me just go help this dude out. And we started shooting the shit, and I might have myself a lifelong friend. We talked the rest of the day, and he ended up getting third place in the race. When he was setting up, like cots and like stoves, and had multiple coolers with multiple meals, and like had his shoe rack with multiple shoes. He had one of those like back of the door shoe holders. You know what I'm talking about?
Where
like,
oh wow, yeah.
And like in that, he had like one with all different chafes, one different goos, all these different flavors, everything all organized, like foot care, band-aids. I finally was like, dude, all right.
Is he on Instagram or anything?
I took a couple pictures, yeah. And I definitely, I highlighted it in my stories on my Instagram page, like his whole setup. And
no, like, does he have an Instagram?
No, he doesn't. He's not a social media guy.
Wow. Okay. That's yeah, cool.
He has a Strava, but he doesn't have social media. Keith Hoffman is his name. And I finally had to say to him, like, I got to ask, like, how long you plan on going?
Yeah.
And he was like, I think I have at least 100 miles in me. He's doing the Vermont 100 in a couple weeks. And he's like, this is kind of a training run for that. He's done a 100 miler. He's actually won a couple of races. Found out the kid's a stud. He's like 32 years old from Connecticut.
Dang.
So he's like, you want me to help you set up your tent? And I'm like, about that. I'm
in the truck, baby.
I got six Red Bulls, four cans of Coke, and a couple fig bars, bud. And they're all soaking wet.
Yeah.
He was like, well, if you want to like commandeer like a little portion of my tent over here, go for it. And I will say his girlfriend showed up a little bit later in the day, and like they gave me a lot of tips. They helped me. And he was just a good motivator, because I had like good expectations, but he would always be like, nah, man, you're going till at least like noon tomorrow. I think in one of the highlights, it was just when it passed midnight. And we were going to brush our teeth at midnight. And I made a reel about like how brushing your teeth after 6-7 hours, you know, it's a game changer. It is. And, we've been waiting for 12:30 to be able to brush our teeth, cause it would be tomorrow. So I'm sitting in this reel, and you can see, I'm like, is it tomorrow? And he's like, no, man, it's today. I'm like, damn it. I'm like, is it past 12:30? He's like, dude, he's like, you still have like three more today's left before the race is over. But yeah, he ended up finishing, like, he didn't make the cut in the 95th mile, I want to say. Like, he missed 100 by one loop and finished third, which is awesome. The winner went,
that's crazy.
The winner went like 108 miles. So just over 14 hours. And I felt good for most of the night. And then at 2:30 in the morning, the elevation started. There was two things that really caught up with me, I think. Elevation was definitely one thing. So I had never done a race with more than like 1,000 feet of climbing in it. And at this point I was 4,000 feet in. Each loop had about 6,500 feet in it. So that was the one thing. The other thing at about
650?
Yeah, 650 feet.
Okay.
The next thing that was starting to get to me was the race was starting to thin out. People were starting to drop out. And at this point there was like, I think I finished like 25th. So about, you know, 2/3 of the race were gone. And it's pitch black. Can't see your hand in front of your face. And for the first couple loops, everyone's running together. You know, it's pretty much this centipede of people walking, running. Cause you know, you're just trying to go as slow as you can without burning out. Cause you can't go any faster than 4 miles per hour. And at this point, like the race started to thin out, and I finished, I didn't make the time cut in the ninth loop. So for the, 6th, 7th, and 8th lap, I was the last finisher, and I was by myself. And like losing that camaraderie just emotionally, there was nobody there to like, when it was a bunch of us, you could kind of see headlights ahead. So you knew there was an uphill coming. So you knew like, okay, prepare yourself. Or you saw the headlights starting to go downhill and you're like, hey, I know you're tired, but we're on a downhill now. So let's fucking go. Or like, we're on a flat. You could see it, use the people around you as motivation. Like, all right, mm-hmm. he started running, I'm going to start running. And that kind of was gone. And in the eighth loop, I kind of just lost my bearings of like, cause I was doing a great job of walking, like power hiking the uphills and then making that time up on the downhills. But I started to get tired. So I wasn't making up a ton of time on the downhills, and it was so dark. Not a lot of people around me. I was kind of missing where those downhills were. And you're like, Vin, you've done this lap like 8 times already. You didn't know where the downhills were. It was just, it was really like one step in front of the other, the headlamp lighting 4 feet in front of you. And that was about it. I got into the last loop at like 59:40.
And you got to start back at 60 minutes again.
Yeah.
So you literally had 20 seconds to break and then you had to start running again.
And at 3 minutes to go, you have to start getting into the corral. And he blows the whistle 3 times for 3 minutes, 2 times for 2 minutes, 1 time for 1 minute. And then they do a cowbell for everyone. Get the hell out of here. And I'm out on the course and I hear the 3 minute whistle. And I'm like, I think I got it, but I got to fucking move. And you come out of the woods and it was like this 100-yard stretch down into the finish. And I, as soon as I'm about to come into the the clearing, I hear the 1 minute whistle. I was like, one, because I missed the 2. Mm. And I'm like, I got pretty much a minute to get this football field through the lawn. And everyone, the 25 people that are left, and I was wearing like my rubber ducky shorts, so they're all screaming, come on, ducky. And they're all singing, rubber ducky. It's 3 o'clock in the morning. And so I'm trying to book it. And I'm thinking to myself, I'm either not going to make it, and that would be shitty, or I'm just going to make it and there's going to be no time to fill water bottles. I'm going to get there and the cowbell's going to go. And all these guys that I've been racing with, you know, they're going to drag me out the door. And that's what happened. 15:40, I got in. I was like, and then they're all like, let's go, Ducky, let's go. And I kind of knew that was going to be it because I gave him my everything to get there. And I'm like, I'm not going to quit in the chair. I'm going to at least go out. And I got about a mile out and my pace had dropped to like 18 minutes per mile. I'm like, let's turn around and get out of here. But what I also realized was that me and the people left, there was a completely different level of human being.
Mm-hmm.
Like even that loop, which I had just finished 50K, I ended up doing like 37 miles. Like the bell rang and they were still going out. You know, like I was still like, oh, let's go. And they were gone. So I was immediately in the darkness. Like they were gone. And like they were the type of guys where they didn't care about 50K at all. Like the race for them didn't start for 4 more hours until the sun came up. And I'm going to hold on for as long as I can. And they're screaming from up the hill, let's go, Brad, move your fucking leg. And I'm like, I got nothing left. I'm trying, man. And it starts with a nice uphill. I just, at that point, and I got to 50K. I didn't quit in the chair, which was awesome. I wanted to try and get to sunrise, but it was a relief knowing that I tried and ended up 37 miles, I think 4,600 feet of climbing, which I've never done before. But I will say that this is the first time I'll probably say this publicly. One thing I think I learned was that I don't think I'm ready for a 100-miler yet. And I have a 100-miler on the schedule for the end of October. And I think I'm going to take my name off that wait list because I think I could do it physically, but the last couple of 50Ks and long runs, like my body's really starting to break down at like 20, 22 miles. And I don't want to force myself to up my mileage to try and be able to finish and then get hurt or, you know, do the race just to do it and then hate it and then never want to do 100 again. And more emotionally and mentally, I don't think I'm right. Like I said, these guys, they were same physically as me. We were all running the same pace in the beginning, but like they weren't beaten down emotionally by the distance. They had 12-hour nutrition plans in set. Like I said, I'm eating fig bars and like piecing together Red Bulls just to stay awake. Like everything was so calculated. And I learned in that moment that like I had a lot to learn. And I didn't want to hate it. And I have the New York City Marathon the week after. So I think I'm going to take my name off that Javelina 100 wait list. And this won't be the year of the 100. I don't, there's no need to rush.
That was my biggest struggle and still is with the 100K. Like, I don't feel like I'm physically ready for this 100K race. Maybe that'll change in the next couple months of training, you know, but I, just from what that half marathon made me feel like, I mean, I'm still leaps and bounds from doing, you know, five more of those basically is what I would have to do. And that was all flat. You know, that wasn't even including elevation. So I remember jumping over a curb to like cross the highway or whatever, the road. And I jumped up the curb and I was like, oh shit. I was like, oh my God, I got to climb in this one. I was like, oh my God, dude. So I'm not gonna lie, I'm a little nervous about it. And just physically being able to finish. Cause I think I could be wrong, but I think mentally I'm going to be okay. I really do. The one thing though, I hope that I can somehow get, like you mentioned in the backyard ultra, is I hope I stumble upon some people during my race. Mm-hmm. I hope you're going to have me there too. Well, I know, but I have a feeling you're going to be, I'm starting this race so slow. Like I'm going to hopefully just get to that first checkpoint at like with maybe 10 minutes to spare. Like I'm going to really, really take it slow, but I hope to have someone on the trail that I can kind of like buddy up with to just like talk to say, hey, how you feeling? Cause if I know somebody's suffering with me, I can keep suffering, you know, like,
right.
If I see somebody suffering with me, it's a lot easier to keep going. But when I'm there by myself and it's just like, shit, like, why did I sign up for this? You know, like that's going to be tough, dude. So I'm nervous physically. But with that being said, the physical changes my body has already made just from taking this overwhelming, you know, task of running this 100K has been such a reward. Dude, like I feel better. I look better. My kids are starting to notice me. Like every time I come in from the run, Mason asks me the same question. How many miles did you get, Dad? How many miles did you get? How many miles did you run? Like, it's so cool to know he's seen me do that versus like drinking beer, you know, sleeping in because I'm hungover or some shit. And I also posted a reel on Instagram the other day. He went out on a run with me because him and I are running our first race together, our first real race. It's a 5K. And the sound or whatever was talking about like your kids are always watching you. You know, make sure that you show them that you're a dad being active and they will see their dad getting after it. You know, because like I want Mason and Millie to look at me as like a fucking beast. You know, I want them to think like their dad is the toughest dad in the world. You know, so like, I'm not going to be the toughest dad in the world sitting on the couch eating Cheetos, drinking beer. You know what I mean? So it was cool to be able to see that and know it's working changes in him because he's wanting to be more active and he's wanting to run this race and go do shit. But yeah, dude, mentally and physically,
I think physically you're set and I think it's going to be more mental for you. But you're absolutely right. And that's what I'm talking about with these guys going out. And I was alone in the woods. Like in the beginning, it was like, oh, we're all doing this together. Right. We're all suffering. And then I was like, well, there's the really fat. And it was an out and back. So like, I see them all coming back. And there's like a huge gap between the last person in their group and me. And I'm like, you know, they're sitting there going, oh, poor Ducky. Poor Ducky's getting his throat kicked in right now. Super, you know, it's bad when like they're all coming back and they're like, keep going, you're doing great. You're looking strong, Brad.
We got you, buddy. We'll see you at the finish line.
We got it, you know. And I'm thinking to myself, you motherfuckers.
Yeah, I know.
Somebody's twist an ankle and wait for me, you know. Like, but
oh man,
on to the next one. I'm July 9th is 60K. Once again, will be the furthest distance I ever ran. It's got 7,000 feet of climbing. So I'm going
to. Yikes.
Our race has 177 feet per mile. I'm doing this one has 183 feet. So it'll be very similar.
Okay. That's good.
So So if I can get the 60K, I think it would be, if I can get the 60K down in under 8 hours, it's going to make me feel very confident.
No, for sure. I know, dude. I wish I could run. I need to run something. Like, I mean, I guess I'll be technically running races. It's just by myself, but I do want to like run something. Like I want to run a race before I just jump
go on Ultra, sign
running.
Up. And
there's
just
nothing.
Cause it's summer. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I could drive 300 miles or some shit like that in Georgia, but I'm just like, I don't know if I want to do that or not. I'd rather just run the race here myself and save the money and time and mileage. Yeah. And, but
yeah, they do. It's more triathlon season down there. Cause it's hot as balls.
Yeah. Yeah. There is the Florida Ironman is coming up.
Is that November, Florida Ironman?
No, it's in Panama City and it's coming up this month, I think.
Oh, June, I thought it was, they must have moved. I thought it was like a November race. They must have moved there.
I don't know. I'd have to go check. Don't quote me on it. I just keep seeing advertising about it and I'm like, oh, it'd be so cool to be able to do that. But I'm not even close to being able to train for that. But that's what I want to get into, man. Like, this is my first real year of like doing this as a sport, like for fun. Yeah. And I've never thought, like, I thought running was always kind of one of those things. I was like, lose all your muscle and stuff. But if anything, dude, I think I look better just from running. And like, I've been doing some like light, like I'll go in and do like an upper body day, like just to like pump the blood and do what, you know, whatever. But like I feel thinner. And just like the relaxation of the run, dude, like when you come in, and you know, you just knocked out like 8, 9, 10 miles. Like there's something to say about that. And it's just like it's almost like in its own adventure. Mm-hmm. Like whenever I do a run and I know I have a cool destination, like I hate turning back around. Like I do, that's how most of my runs are. But if Lindsay has the time to come pick me up, it makes the run so much more enjoyable because I know I have an end destination.
Right.
And that's why I'm excited about this 100K race, is because there will be an end destination. It's not like I'm like going, you know, I think there are like loops and stuff, but it's different, you know, there's a finish line.
Yeah. So no. Yeah, it's so true. Today's a rest day for me. And I said to Tara before, like I'm a little beat up, my ankle's a little sore, but like, I don't know what's worse, like running on sore ankles or the agita of like not exercising.
Yeah.
Like probably get on the Mondays. I've been getting on the bike, but like now, listen, not at work. I have like a whole day. I'm like, what am I going to do today?
Yeah.
And then I think back to like how lazy really was I.
I know, dude. Same.
How like I'm finding like 90 minutes a day to exercise. I'm like, what the fuck was I doing for those other 90 minutes?
Being a lazy piece of shit, dude.
I don't know. Like, and until we had our yearly block party the other day. Usually we have it on the 4th of July, but there was some circumstances where we changed it. And first one I've ever done, first one. So we've been doing it 4 years. This was my first sober one. And the amount of people that were like, man, I thought maybe you'd be drinking. Cause my family doesn't exactly know. Cause I told you, we talked about, like, I'd never said to them, like, I'm not drinking anymore. It's always like, I got training. I got this, that, and the other thing. And then people come in yesterday, like, oh man, I thought for sure you'd be drinking at the block party, you know? And that's what's kind of like, nah, not really. And then now people are starting to question, like, wait, you're not drinking? Like, wow, this is not like I have to race. And it was funny because I said to my brother, like maybe like 6:30 PM, I was like, this is usually the part of the night where like I'd go to the bathroom and I'd be like starting to sway while I was sitting there going to the bathroom. Mm-hmm. Like, all right, Brad, don't let it get too far. Your kids are still awake. And then like an hour later, I'd be asleep. Like, and then wake up, Tara's pissed off at me that I didn't help with the kids in the bath and didn't help clean up. And
you feel all like the shit.
All the shit's still all over the front lawn. And now I'm hungover and I got to clean it up and it's 80 degrees and humid. Ugh. Like, instead, I was up till 10. I put the kids to bed. Everything was cleaned up. We were having breakfast yesterday and I'm watching all my neighbors do the same shit I hated, like putting all their stuff away, sleeping. I did a 8 mile run the next morning. I drove some of my aunts and uncles home. My aunt's like, I'm going to call an Uber. And I'm like, you live around the block. Let me drive you home. My uncle's like, oh, you know, yeah. I'm like, Rich, I haven't been drinking. He's like, oh, so you're drinking Heineken's. And I showed him the guy, Heineken Zeros, bud. He's like, no Ubers for me. So I ended up getting to drive people, just a complete 180. And sure as shit, I had just as good a time.
Yeah.
I had just as good a time, if not feel better.
Feel so much better.
If not better.
Yeah.
You know, I got to prolong the party. I got to play with the kids in the pool. You know, like I never realized how much of like these major like bender parties, like how much the second half was just survival. Like, don't fall over on the lawn. Don't fall through a table. Don't trip on a fucking chair. Don't piss your pants. Like all these things that I was thinking about. And like that paints the picture of how much I was really, you know, how much of a problem the drinking really was. Cause most people can go to a block party and have a couple, but you know, it started fast and furious at 9 a.m. Like that's what I did my first beer mile last year on my block party and things like that. And it was just a completely different experience.
Do you think you'll drink again? Are you just kind of still taking it day by day?
Yeah. You know, I've said like the cliche, like, I don't know. I don't know if I'm going to drink ever again, or I'm just not going to drink today. Right.
Right. Yeah.
And breaking it into small pieces. And I'm having more conversations with people about drinking. So I can kind of change that narrative a little bit. It's definitely still a day by day thing.
Mm-hmm.
Definitely. And I think yesterday was 175. So today is 176. I would say since 100, I haven't like considered it. It hasn't been something that I had to fight. I haven't had any like days where like I needed a meeting or I needed to call somebody in well over a month. And I think for me, it wasn't so much days. It was getting past events. And we talked about like, the year started off with an open bar wedding for a family member, which is usually a rager. Avery's birthday party, always a good party. The friends and family come over. The anniversary of my mother's death, my birthday, springtime, St. Patrick's Day, the anniversary of my brother's death. All of these like things that always triggered drinking, or at least if I wanted to stop drinking, would be a reason why I had to continue to drink. Like, how am I not going to go get fucked up with my brothers on my mom's anniversary date? You know, like those were things I really thought about. And once I got through some of those major milestones of events, it became easier. So Dominic passed away on April 13th. And I really think since that, once I got through that day, it's been good. And I to answer your question, like, I don't think I'm going to drink again.
Yeah.
We were joking. There's a couple of situations in which I would. If I go to Champagne, France, I'm probably going to have a glass of champagne.
Mm-hmm.
If I get stage 4 cancer, I'm gonna get fucked up and feel bad for myself for a day, but maybe just for a day.
Yeah.
You know, like extreme things like that, but. Yeah, I think I'm definitely leaning more towards there's a pretty good chance that you won't see me drink it again. I just, the benefits, and I have my short-term journal and then my long-term journal that I write every 6 months. So we just came to half of the year and I actually like sat and wrote a couple pages and I had this conversation with myself, and it's easy to say in the first month or two, like how good you feel.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and it's easy to say, I'm sleeping better, I'm losing weight, all of these things, I'm a better husband. Like, those are all true. But I think I'm really starting to realize, without thinking about it, how much better I feel. And that is just compounding. And it's like this double-edged sword. It's like, I want to talk about it more, but you don't want to be that guy.
Right.
And I went through this when I went plant-based, and like, I didn't want to talk about it, but I wanted just to talk about it. And especially with like the Instagram, like I don't want to be the guy that's like talking about sobriety or being the sober athlete, because A, I don't want to hold myself to that standard. I don't think I deserve it yet. I don't think 6 months is really anything. Maybe it is, but
I think 6 months is quite a bit.
But then I'll say something and I'll get DMs, tons of DMs about it. And I'm like, wow, like, that really is, because the running and the fitness, people think I lost this weight because of running.
Mm-hmm.
Like, no, like I didn't lose the weight. And this is like kind of a reel that I want to make. It's, you know, I might be sleeping better. I might be eating better. I might have lost 60 pounds. I might be running. All of that shit is a ripple effect of not drinking. All of it. If I was still drinking, I would not be running 50 miles a week. If I was still drinking, I would not be sleeping as well as I've been sleeping. If I've been drinking, I would not be as eating as good. I wouldn't be losing the weight. Everything. And I'm really starting to understand that. Everything, my commitments to people and like being at certain places at certain times when I say I'm going to be there, you know, all of that shit. And those are the reasons that I think that I might be done, but I don't want to hold myself to that standard because it's a hard standard to go by, you know? And I still am an alcoholic and I can still slip up. I could still fuck up, you know? Yeah. And, I'm not afraid of that day, but yeah. Feels pretty good. One thing I've been realizing is like alcohol was such a social stimulant for me. It was the thing that like led me to want to talk to people. And one thing I really was afraid of is like, if I stop drinking, can I be social? Will I meet as many people as I've met? You know, will I randomly just DM somebody when I would been drinking and be like, I'll just DM this dude, whatever. And I was afraid of that. And to be honest, that's kind of been true. I've not met as much people and I haven't been as social, but one thing I've realized is like, I am now getting the right people in my life. So, I haven't met as many people as I did when I was drinking, but I've met more core people and the right people per se. And that alone has been absolutely like incredible for me. And I also know now that when I meet new people, they're getting the best version of me, which wasn't always the case. I always had to tiptoe around like, oh, I got this new friend, but I'm going to get drunk and fuck this up. And I don't need to worry about that anymore.
Or some podcast episodes we've done.
Yeah. Or I've been kicked off live streams. You know, like people have asked me to exit live streams because I've been drinking and my mouth gets loose and things like that. I now know that, okay, I'm not going to meet as many people, but when I meet people, they're going to get the full best version of me. And that's made me now more confident in social situations. I don't have that social anxiety so much anymore because I don't have to worry about being judged for being an alcoholic. I'm only going to be judged for being who I am, and I'm content and happy with who I am. So that's perfectly okay.
Like, yeah. I mean, I think you've done well, dude. You know, I mean, just the whole process of from where you were 6 months ago to where you are now. And like you said, yeah, like, you know, running and eating healthier definitely helps with your fitness goals and stuff. But the fact that I like how you pointed out, none of that would have been done if you would have still been drinking.
None
like,
of it.
And I mean, it's crazy because it's crazy that alcohol does play such a large factor in life because I still drink, but I've even, you know, drink way less than I used to now. And a lot of that is because of running and just not wanting to feel like shit for my runs. So I just choose to not even put alcohol in my system at all. But last night or yesterday, we have what's called Reggae Day here in Florida at one of the local breweries. And it's literally one of my favorite days here in Florida. I love it. They do it like every other Sunday for the summer. So it's like my time to like let loose. Like the family was there and kids were there. Lindsay was there. I was pounding the craft beers and my body's not used to drinking that much because I literally have not really been drinking that much since I've started this running journey. And so it hit me a little faster. And then I think you texted me at like 6 or 7 or something.
Yes. It was 6.
Shit. I was hoping you'd give me the hour.
It was 6 PM.
Yeah. And you're like, hey man, you good to record? And I'm like, I'm in bed, dude. And I'm completely fucked out of my mind right now.
And tied one on.
Yes. And I was telling Lindsay because I've already napped like during that day. I already napped. I was already like past that phase. What? It was day drinking. It was early.
So wait, so, you had already taken a nap from this Darty?
Yes. Oh yes. I know. And then I woke up feeling like even more shit.
Yep.
And then Lindsay and I are just chilling in bed and I'm telling her, I was like, this is why I don't really drink anymore. Like, I feel
and your
like
wife doesn't drink, so she's like, duh.
Yeah, she don't drink. She didn't drink. I think she maybe had one sour while we're the whole time we were there. And she's like, yeah, like you're a dumbass. You know, like But I mean, we both kind of knew like I was gonna throw a couple down at Reggae Day, and but yeah, dude, like I'm sitting there laying down, I'm thinking to myself, I was like, what the hell is the point of this? Like, I could have had just as much fun, if not more, sipping on two beers for the entire time than trying to just not, like, because I wasn't even paying attention to what I was drinking. Mm-hmm. When my cup was empty, I was going to get another one.
Yeah.
And, dude, it's just, it wasn't like, I still feel it today. Like, I can still feel it, like, kind of like that sour feeling in my stomach and shit. And it's just like, I can't wait for tomorrow to go on a nice run, try to sweat out all that shit that was put in my body. And no, I'm probably not even making a dent yet, but just to get it, like, kind of just start fresh for the week. And yeah, and dude,
I didn't bust your balls either. Cause my answer to you was, I've been there.
Yeah.
And you know, it was more that I chuckled to myself and I was like, thanks for reminding me why I don't, because the amount of times that's happened to me is,
it's just, it's not worth it, dude. Like,
it is when you're in your 20s, maybe. Yeah. I'm not here promoting, like, don't that's drink. True. That's true. I don't give a shit if people drink. Like, it's fun. You know, it's kind of like,
that's a good point.
It's the same reason I don't ride motorcycles, because I can't go under 125 miles per hour in one. I know that about myself. I'm not going to tell people to stop riding motorcycles. They're fucking fun.
Yeah.
You know? And the only thing I say about drinking is, like, you will feel better if you don't. That's my only position for other people. And my other position, actually, I have two positions. One, don't drink and you'll probably feel better. And the other is, if you don't want to drink, I will support you. But I don't care.
Right.
I don't care if people drink, because, like, yeah, I'm watching this block party and I'm watching people get, I'm like, kind of jealous. They're shotgunning beers and stuff. And I'm like, I used to be so good at that. Like, I could hop in that circle right now and dominate them. You know, mm-hmm. Like the beer pong and like those things. And it's like, it's more like I'm just past that. I look at it now as like, I'm just past that evolution of my life. Yeah. It's the same reason I don't want to stay up till 2 o'clock in the morning partying, or that I don't want to go on a Vegas bachelor party. Like, I'm just like, I'm 42, 41 years old. I just don't want to fucking do that anymore. But like, if you do, like, I don't say to my students, like, don't go to the football party on Friday night and rage and have a great time.
No, that's a good point.
You know? So yeah, like, I didn't buy it. You should go to Reggae Night and get messed up, especially if you can handle yourself. But Reggae Night for this guy would have been throwing up at 4 p.m. And then trying to explain to my wife that something must have happened. And, you know, and then her telling me how she fed the kids and she bathed the kids. And like, I had to decide, like, that's not, like, I have a fucking drinking problem, you know? And like, maybe as time goes on, I could start explaining to people how much I actually drank. But yeah, no, go have fun.
Yeah, no, that's a great point.
Go, window love, go. You know?
But no, I'm afraid of those. I'm afraid of, if I stop running, that I will go back to drinking more and eating more like shit.
You're a fan of David Goggins, yeah?
I don't know who he is. Yeah, I know who he is.
I'm reading his book right now, listening to his book, and he makes a good point in there. And he's like, people ask me all the time, he's had all these injuries, he's had heart surgery, his knee just dominated. Damn. And they're like, oh, what happens, you know, what would you do if, you know, something happened and you really couldn't run? Like, you've had these big knee surgeries and things like that, and like, you've been able to come back. And he's like, I don't even think about that, because if I can't run, I'm going to go be awesome at something else. And to that point, you know, I thought about that too, but I don't not drink because I'm running, right? I run because I'm not drinking. So if something happened to me and I stopped running, I'm still going to be not drinking, and I'll find a different ripple effect and I'll dominate it. You know, like, maybe I'll go back into the business world or something like that. Yeah. And I, like, that's the beauty of, like, knowing that it's not the drinking. I'm not drinking because of running.
Yeah, right, for sure. See, mine is that.
And that's fine. That's fine. Good on you. You know, like, I'm jealous. You're also like 10 years younger than me.
Yeah.
Maybe when you're 41, you'll be like, nah, dude, never again.
Yeah, for sure.
Not even worth it. Not even. Because, like, too, there's like, they did like a school golf outing, and they're all like, oh, yeah, you get to subtract a stroke for every beer you drink. That's a common drinker's, you know, rule for golf. And like, I used to be able to, you know, take off like 15 strokes easy in a game of golf, you know, nice and slow, walking the course. And so not only did I like suck at golf because I had to use all my strokes, but like it was like I felt a little left out, but not in a way where I'm like, oh, damn it, you know, like what am I doing to myself? Like, I feel like sobriety is starting to become my new identity, which is, that's just the fucking, it's good feeling, man.
Yeah, good. Stick with it. So what's next? You got your 60K race coming up.
Yeah, and just enjoy summer. 60K, it's nice. It's 4 15K loops. And then a bunch of my friends and family are doing the 15K.
Sweet.
And the way they have it staggered start. So I should come through 15K before they start. And then
cool.
My faster friends are going to be trying to catch me on that second loop. My slower friends, I'm going to be trying to catch them before.
That'll be cool.
So it'll be fun. And then just like the mile, the third loop is probably going to be torture. You know, we get to 30K. 30K is almost a marathon. It's 18 miles. Starting that next 9 mile loop up to 26. But that's it. That'll be the longest I've ever ran. So, oh, yeah. And I haven't told you this. Turned on my AC this morning. Didn't fucking turn on.
Yikes.
So we've talked about the upstairs on this podcast. $7,000 I dropped for those. And Tara's like, I'm so glad that you let me talk you into fixing those, because then we'd have nothing downstairs and nothing upstairs. So at least we get to sleep with AC right now.
Yeah.
It's just my downstairs unit, which has given me problems for years. And I told the guy, like, I'm going to need you back probably, because this thing's on its last legs. The blower motor didn't turn off. And old Brad, I would have been like, I'll pull this thing apart. I'll get on YouTube. It's probably a blown capacitor. I can change that. This time I'm like, nope.
Yeah.
Yeah, I just like, just change it. Like, I just change it.
You just get a new unit or what?
I'm just going to replace the units. I put the unit in 96. So it doesn't owe me anything. Doesn't owe me anything.
Yeah.
And the main cost of those things is really like running all the lines. All the lines are running. They're good. So when he was over here in the summer, he's like, I could probably tell you confidently that I can replace it for under $8,000.
And I'm
like,
yeah.
I guess there goes my sauna again.
Yeah. Dude, I want a cold plunge so bad, man. I want one so bad. Dude, every run, that's the first thing I think about is like how awesome that would be.
I'm drenched, bro. Like one of those days where even your shorts are soaked.
It's every day.
And you're like, it's like that. We call it that time of year around here where it's like a 3-shower day. We're like, you just shower and you get out and you're still sweating. The ice bath. And you come back, your body temperature is like 105 degrees. It feels like you get in there, you start shivering, and then you don't sweat again for the rest of the day.
I want one so bad. So I was talking to a company. I was like, you know, trying to work with them. And I asked them for a free bath in an exchange. Cause like after 10 affiliate purchases, you get a free one.
Is that the plunge, right?
Yeah. No, it was somebody. It was another one.
Okay.
So I was like, well, I was like, I'm going back and forth on, you know, putting the money up front. Would you guys be willing to send me one? And then we just, instead of giving me commission up until my 10th sale, it's just the tubs free. Like I don't earn any commission until after 10 sales have been made, but they didn't go for it. I'm also not big in the running world yet. But I tried. And because if not, it was like $4,500 for the tub. And I'm not dropping that right now with, you know, the house and everything. So that is my next one on the list.
Yeah. Knowing what I know now, and I love mine. I built it nice. But knowing what I know now, I would have just spent the money.
You would have just bought one?
Yeah, like I built mine out because I wasn't sure if $4,500 was worth it.
Right, right.
What I'm saying is like, I know now. Like if this one crapped out, I'm not going to rebuild it. I'm not going to buy a new chiller. I'm just going to buy one for $4,500.
Yeah.
That's just what I know now.
Okay. I know it. If we get
sometimes twice a day.
Yeah. If we, oh, for sure. If we get the house, like that'll probably be my first big purchase, either that or a motorcycle. I haven't decided yet, but I know. Well, I sent you that one the other day. I was like, dude, I may go buy this.
Jesus Christ. Just do it. Just purchase it sober. That's all.
Yeah.
Oh, all right, man.
Yeah, we got some races coming up, dude. We're training our ass off. Follow us on Instagram to follow along with the training.
Brad just has 500 followers.
Hey, there you go. So go give him the to up above 500. So Brad's at Brad Trains.
Yeah,
I'm just JJ Buckner on Instagram, and I'm actually thinking about starting to post my running stuff on my main YouTube account.
I thought about it, dude.
I know. So I switched. So my first video on Dividend Freedom, for those of you that even follow us on YouTube, I did a Robinhood portfolio update. So that used to be on my main channel. That was like my growth and options channel. Well, now I'm putting all my stock content together. I probably should have done this a long time ago, but, and it used to be like that until I switched out to Dividend Freedom. But I'm going back to stock content all on one channel on Dividend Freedom. And then JJ Buckner, which that channel is, you know, it's kind of dead because I haven't known what to do with that thing for years. I decided I'm just going to start putting my running stuff here. Like that's what I'm doing right now. That's my big hobby. That's what I love to do. And it's already monetized, you know, which is nice. So like, I'm just going to start doing it. Like I'm just going to start posting it on there and then I can still post all my stock content that I love to still talk about on Dividend Freedom.
I think if I had two monetized channels like that, I might, but like YouTube income is still like my channel still produces income.
Yeah.
So it's like, I can't personally right now take the risk of changing it.
Right.
You know, just even with the book sales, every time I make a video about options,
that's true.
So I am trying to build.
Well, and I feel like yours is so dead set on options and has just, been for the longest time. It'd be a really tough turnaround to where like mine, don't get me wrong. Most of my subscribers are from my stock days and stuff, but
yeah,
I've also talked about other shit in there. Most of it's about money. So it's going to be a weird transition, but.
And I think 90% of my views come from external and Google. So it's, my channel's still very searchable. It's very evergreen. So it's like, I can't, but so Brad Trains on YouTube, I have 360 subscribers,
all right.
But they just changed it. I can get super chat and super thanks at 500 now. They changed the monetization, but cool. Still no ads until 1,000.
Yeah.
But I don't really care about that so much because we all know that even when I become monetized, I'll get $10 a month.
Mm-hmm.
Woo-hoo.
Yeah, I know.
But I got to get out of here, bud.
Yep. It's lunchtime for me.
And lunchtime, midday. Glad we can get on. I'll edit this and I'll get it out today. I'll go upstairs and get it done.
Sweet.
All right, guys. Take it easy. We'll catch you on the next episode.